Turn with me, if you would, to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church that he had established in Philippi. And here's what he tells them, and here's what he tells us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. You know, when you hear something in Scripture and it's repeated, it's there for emphasis so that we get it. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Is that what we do? Is that what we think about? Skip down to verse 12. I know what it is, Paul says, to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. The angel, amen, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. He says, the angel, forgot the amen, didn't I? I didn't want you like for the whole sermon to be in prayer, you know. Hark! I'm afraid you've started something, Lahan. The angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. Amen. Hello. I bring you good news of great joys that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. The good news of great joy is one name. Jesus. So, according to the angel, Jesus came and brought good news of great joy. That's what he brought with him. How about you? I want you to think about yourself and your life and how your days go, just in, with your family and work, out and just when you're kind of doing your day-to-day stuff. Are you joyful with all your heart? Are you hardly ever joyful? Are you joyful with all your heart, or are you hardly ever joyful? I want that to just sink in for just a minute. Now, this is not to shame us. I hope that this message today convicts us as Christians. If we have Christ, if we have been purchased by the blood of Christ, we should be a joyful people. Paul says, rejoice. I say it again, rejoice. Jesus hung on a cross for you. Rejoice. We continue the Advent sermon series. Jesus came for you today, so be of great joy. Paul writes from prison. I talked a little bit about Paul. Someday I'm going to do a sermon series on Paul because I love his life, and I love all the complexities of it and what can be learned from his life. But he speaks to the Philippians, and he uses this word joy, or a form of it, 17 times just in that one letter. Do you think joy was important to him? Do you think that maybe perhaps the church at Philippi was struggling with joy? Joy, he says, transcends circumstances. It transcends our feelings and our circumstances. We talked a little bit about that last week. But this joy that radiates from the inside out, even in the midst of crisis in our life, even in the midst of terrible things that goes on in our lives, there can be this peace and this joy that just kind of exudes out of us. It just kind of oozes out of us if we are in Christ, even in the midst of tragic circumstances. Joy and contentment, Paul says in verse 12, is learned. And it doesn't just like we're just automatically joyful and content. It's learned. It's this process of pressing into God. And it says in verse 12, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. And here's what we don't like. We don't like this part. Many times, joy and contentment is learned in the face of trials. That's when the rubber meets the road. We typically don't grow through the good times, if we're honest. I mean, when everything is right and everything is perfect and we got plenty of money, we got plenty of friends, we got plenty of health and all those things, we tend to kind of coast, don't we? We just kind of coast. But when God allows trials to come into our life, we press into Him. We realize that, I don't know about you, but many times I have thrown myself at the feet of God and go, I can't do it. I can't get through this. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle these things I'm feeling, these things that I'm going through. And in James chapter 1, it says to consider it pure joy when we face trials. Consider it joyful because, he goes on to say, because we know the testing of our faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And I love this visual. I'm a visual type person. And I love this visual that that God is this master craftsman. And He's got this workbench. And He wants us to get on His workbench, and He wants to make us in His image. He wants, and usually that, and I just imagine Him with, you know, maybe not physically, but spiritually with this hammer and chisel, and he's knocking off the crud in our life, and He wants to just knock it off, and He wants to form us and to shape us to be more like Him. And the problem is we have legs. We walk off the table. You see, God doesn't strap us to the table. His workbench. We have legs, and just like Teresa, I hate to keep coming back, but your testimony this morning is a perfect example. Teresa put herself on His table when she went to that captivating retreat. And she said, here I am. She might not have even known she was doing this, but she was saying, here I am, God. What would you do with me? And all He wanted to tell Teresa and all He wants to tell us is, you're precious in my sight. He doesn't scold us and shame us. He wants to tell us how much He loves us. And when we have to put ourselves on His table and we have to get rid of the sin and the junk and the crud in our lives and allow Him to get rid of those things in our lives, and He just wants to speak to us and say, I love you. And I tell you, when that happens, it brings great joy. When we understand how the Creator of the universe feels about us, it brings great joy. I want to play a little clip from a video. And I may not play all of that I told you, Lee, so y'all kind of watch me. Lee can't see over the ledge, so y'all tell him if I wave my hand. I'm just kidding. We're going to get you a little periscope, Lee, where you can kind of see over the top. I've been thinking about that. I think two or three mirrors, and we could have you a little scope there. But anyway, this is a little video by a man named Jack Rushton. In 1989, 23 years ago, he was with his wife, and they were at the coast in California, and he was body surfing in the coast, and he hit a rock and severed his spinal cord, and he's been a quadriplegic for 23 years now. I want you to, and it's nothing bad, but we're not used to seeing people quadriplegics talk like this. So it's a little shocking in that respect. So go ahead and play that for us, Lee.
know, all my life, I wanted to be able to do one thing better than anybody else and was very unsuccessful. And then I had my accident and I thought, you know, maybe I can be the best quadriplegic on a respirator that ever lived. And then, wouldn't you know it, Christopher Reeve goes out and breaks his leg. And I'm in competition with Superman. I worry a little bit about how I'm going to be perceived by others when... especially when I go out in public. I like to wear a ball hat almost everywhere I go because my head's very sensitive, but Joanne will hardly ever let me do it. She says it makes me look too conspicuous. And I certainly wouldn't want to look conspicuous. The other day, we went to this elementary school. And as we were leaving, we were going through the playground. And on our way to the parking lot, a group of five-year-olds were having recess. And they saw me in this wheelchair. And they just... came and surrounded me. Five-year-olds are the greatest. They are so open. I guess we could all learn a big lesson from little children about how to react to people that have a little bit of a physical problem. But they surrounded me and they were saying, "Hey, mister, what happened to you? What's that hose hanging out of your neck?" How does this chair work? What is this all about? And there was this little kid that was kind of hanging around the edge, and I knew that he wanted to ask me something, and he just couldn't quite get his courage up, and finally he got up real close to me, and he looked me right in the eyes, and he said, "Hey, mister, what happened to your face?" I thought, my face, I thought it was the only part of me that even halfway worked. And I tried to run over the kid. You know, even though my health is very good, Joanne still insists on taking me to the doctor every once in a while for a checkup. And so we go, and they do blood work, and the nurse gets the needle ready to take my blood, and I always ask her, "Is this going to hurt?" She pats me on the arm and says, "Well, it'll probably sting just a little bit." Well, as they get done examining me, and they usually tell Joanne, "Well, Mrs. Rushton, bring him back and 6 months or 6,000 miles, whichever comes first." A while back...
I know y'all are wanting to hear the rest of that, aren't you? You can Google it. Jack Rushton, "It's Good to Be Alive" is the name of that video. I want us to talk. You know, I just, that's rough to be dealt that hand, isn't it? And this guy for 23 years has faced life with joy in the midst of those circumstances. I want us to talk about how we can tap into that secret of joy. The secret of joy, and if you want to follow along with your outline, I'm going to move into that. The secret of great joy is to praise God sacrificially. Praise God sacrificially. Now, we tend to praise God when our circumstances all line up, don't we? But God's Word says, we just read in verse 4 of this text today, to rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. No, always. Rejoice in the Lord always, because He's God. In Hebrews 13, we see that through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God the sacrifice of praise. Sacrifice of praise means that we praise God even when things are not going great for us, because we understand who God is and we understand how He feels about us. We are to praise God sacrificially. And you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. This won't be the last time, but it's impossible. I want this statement to soak in. It's impossible to be down and discouraged when you're praising God. It's impossible. Now, what is possible is to be so down, so discouraged, that we just can't get up the energy to praise God. But it is impossible, and test me on this. It's impossible to be down and discouraged and depressed when we are praising God. The secret of great joy is to praise God sacrificially. The second thing, the secret of great joy is to pray about everything. Praise God sacrificially. Pray about everything. In verse 6 it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's this idea that we understand that we are basically at the Lord's mercy. God loves us. God wants to bless us. But sometimes blessing, this Jack Rushton, do you think he's blessed? Did he give off the sense that he feels he's blessed? His circumstances for 23 years have been anything but blessed. But this is a man that understands that God loves him. And we are, the secret of being, of having great joy, is to pray about everything. First Peter, the Apostle Peter says, to cast all our anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. To understand that that's who God is, that He is someone that we can go to with all of our feelings of anxiousness and all of our worries and fears and so forth. We can cast those anxieties upon Him because He cares for us. The third thing, the secret of great joy, is godly thinking. Godly thinking. Verse 8 tells us, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. But what we find ourselves doing is we find ourselves getting caught up in this, and I won't sing it again this week, but that, you know, the hee-haw, woe is me, that gloom despair. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, that one. But so we find ourselves thinking and dwelling on those things. Woe is me. Gloom and despair and agony on me. But Paul is telling us, and God is telling us, that we are to think about things that are true, that are noble, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, excellent and praiseworthy. Those are the things we set our mind on. Godly thinking. Now listen to this. Joy is the result of habitually doing, saying, thinking the right things. Sadness, and we'll talk about what those right things are in just a minute. Sadness is the result of habitually doing, saying, and thinking the wrong things. You know, whether we know it or not, we have a God, we have a Savior who loves us, who wants to bless us, who wants us to have abundant life, it says in John 10:10. And we have an enemy that wants to destroy us, wants us to dwell in that place of gloom and despair and agony on me. That's what he wants for us. But no, Jesus wants abundant life for us. Where do we dwell? Paul said that we should think about whatever is true. What do we know to be true? Well, we know that God loves us. 1 John chapter 3, it says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. So it's settled. We understand that God loves us because Jesus hung on a cross for us. It's settled. It doesn't matter if we lose our job from the standpoint of measuring God's love. It doesn't matter if the doctor says some kind of horrible diagnosis that we dread. It doesn't matter those things. Yes, they matter because they affect us, but it doesn't impact the depth of God's love for us because that has been settled. We also know that God is with me. In Hebrews 13, it says, God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Do you think Jack Rushton has been deserted by God? Do you think you've been deserted by God? No matter what you're facing? We know that God is with me because God has promised it. He would never leave us or forsake us. And we also know that God will work things together for my good. We know that in all things, in Romans 8 it says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. So we understand that God is at work, even in the junk of our life. Our sin and our brokenness, God is at work. He's at work in us and He's at work around us and others. And we know this. We know who we belong to. 1 John 3 tells us how great is the love of the Father that He's lavished on us that we should be called children of God. You in Christ belong to God. He has adopted you into His family. He has pulled you unto Himself and He has embraced you through Christ. And He has called you His child. And finally, great joy results in God's incomprehensible peace and strength. When we're pressing into God, and that may be a term that you don't really know what I'm talking about. And what I'm talking about with that is to place yourself on the table. On His workbench. And you do that in so many ways. You do that through prayer and listening. Prayer is not just us giving God our laundry list of do this, do this, do this, do this. Prayer is also listening. God, who do you say that I am? I know what everybody else is saying and I know what I'm feeling. Who do you say that I am? So listening. Prayer is a two-way conversation. And so by praying and by being in God's Word and by putting ourselves in circumstances where we can grow in Bible studies and Sunday school and in Christian retreats and so on and so forth, that's pressing into God because He wants to press into us. Great joy results in God's incomprehensible peace and strength. Listen to verse 7 of what we just read today. So if we do all the things, if we rejoice and we do all those things, place our mind on things above, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and I would put in there, and circumstances, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We get peace. It's one of the, we talked about it last week. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Has anybody learned those this week? I challenged you to last week. Everybody's going to learn those. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I want those to come off of your lips. That's who you are in Christ. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 13, to get strength. At the end of this text that we read today, Paul says, with all of this that I've just said, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Rejoice in the Lord. Press into God. Place your mind on things above. And I can do everything because of Him who gives me strength. I want to play the last part of that video from Jack Rushton. And this is he's not a comedian per se. I read a little bit about his bio. And he never does comedy for the sake of comedy. He uses comedy, he uses humor to draw people in so that they will listen to what we're fixing to listen to, this last piece of his message. Go ahead, Lee.
I was on a talk radio show a couple of years after the accident, and the moderator said, Jack, what brings you the most peace? To believe that God brought the wave that broke your neck, or to believe that it was just an accident. And I said, you know, I probably haven't spent 5 minutes thinking about that question. I simply do not know why these things happen, and it matters little to me. I don't know why people get cancer and little children die and all of the tragedies, man's inhumanity to man on this earth. I don't know why a lot of these things happen, but I know only one thing for sure. There is a loving, kind God, a Heavenly Father that cares about us as individuals. And with His help and His power, we can cope with any situation that life may bring to us. We can overcome our challenges and our problems with His help. And I want you to know from the bottom of my heart that the burden of paralysis literally has been taken from my shoulders, that I do not even feel it. And I'm so grateful for that. And this is the one thing I know. I thank you all so much for coming tonight.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. If you would bow your heads with me. This morning, I know that there are many, if not some, if not many of us this morning that are feeling overwhelmed with circumstances. Circumstances in their life right now. And I would say, and I believe God would say, that Jesus came for you. So be of great joy. Be of great joy. Just symbolically now, if you want, with your eyes closed, your head bowed, I want you to turn your hands and set them in your lap, face down. Symbolically, with the face down, it's symbolically you're emptying your hands. You're releasing. Oh, your hands open. You're releasing all of the crud, all of the fears, all the brokenness and the weightedness of all the things that you've been carrying. You're releasing those things. Let them go. And then flip your hands over in your lap. Just flip them over. Facing up. And now, symbolically, you are lifting your hands before God. You are receiving joy and peace and comfort. Peace that transcends understanding and circumstances. You're receiving His peace right now through the power of His Spirit. Still your hearts for just a minute and still your minds and just ask God, what do you want to tell me right now? Great is the love of the Father that we should be called children of God. He is pulling you to His breast and He's embracing you right now. And He's saying, you are mine. Nothing else matters. You're mine. And I died for you. Nothing you're facing is bigger than me. You're mine. I'm bigger than finances. I'm bigger than relationships. I'm bigger than jobs. I'm bigger than that disease. And you are my child, and I will protect you. And I love you. So be of great joy. In Jesus' name. If you would stand as you are able as we close this morning. I will be up front if you want to come, and the altar is open if you want to come, and I will pray with you. We have people with red name tags blue name tags that are designated people that would love to pray with you. And if y'all would just kind of position yourself around where people can see you. The altar is open. I am here. If anything God is stirring in your life, please come.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will see how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me. All will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me how great is our God. And all will see how great. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing, how great is our God.
I just feel led to, we've got some folks still praying. I feel led to kind of dismiss. If you would go out, if you're through, go out in the foyer to do your visiting. Please shut the doors. I want to just leave this altar open, and Clay is going to stay and play for a little while for us this morning. The altar is open. There will be people to pray with you if you want to be prayed for this morning. Be blessed and be joyful. We are dismissed. God bless you.
The splendor of a king. Clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands. And time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. How great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise, and my heart will sing, how great is our God. He's the name above all names. He is worthy of all praise, and my how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great are you, God. You're the King of Kings, how great are you, God. And all will see how great are you, God. How great are you, God. You're the King of Kings, how great are you, God. And all will see how great are you, God.